Live and about to sell off 20% of the show to private equity.
Too late, Mark. I've got a deal to sell 25% of the show. Yeah, 25% of our future Patreon proceeds. For the princely sum of $50 from a combination of Brookfield Asset Management and Tony Walsh.
Excuse me, but I just arranged a deal for 30%.
Well,
with Pizza Palace, that place down the corner, and, okay,
that's
30%.
That's 30% of what's left over after my 25%.
No.
It's all bullshit. It's a Vocal Minority podcast. What the fuck, guys?
Look, I'm trying to get us the best deal possible. What are you doing?
Who's us? You're trying to undercut us.
We could get
the best betting sites ever.
We could get an entire turbo from us right now.
Well, I can get us pizza for life with my deal. Pizza Palace is a totally unknown quantity, but they're on the corner across from the other pizza place. So they must be good.
I was just selling it to every gambling house known to man.
Marcus, thought you were selling it to all the kit manufacturers.
They did not want a piece of what I had built. They did not want a goddamn thing. They all had receipts. All of them. Even Macron and Hummel, who I say nothing but nice things about, receipts.
Even Joma?
Oh, Joma's barely been a thing. And they're going to remember that the next time I try to pitch it. But that's not the point. I've dug apparently a hole. With Nike, that is a... Make the Marianas Trench blush. It's so deep.
Foolish to have approached Nike.
I said, but look at all the ones I said nice things about. And they're like, yeah, but you said shit about this Calgary one. I go, but every year there's a shit Calgary one. So
that is true.
Yeah, it's just whatever, guys. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
It seems like this is all falling apart. All I'm going to say that's a real shame for
emergency meeting. We should have an emergency meeting.
All the kids out there throughout the world who are going to really, really benefit from the extra money that this deal was going to bring in.
Yeah, and,
true.
Well, you selfish bastards! You've ruined it for all the little kids out there.
I hear James Grossi's putting in a bid to take over the show.
Mm.
Son of a bitch.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Him and his hat mafia. Seriously.
I know, right? And they're such nice hats.
They are really nice hats. This will look good.
True.
All right. Let's table this until the emergency meeting tomorrow. It's fine. All right. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that honestly forgot about the Leagues Cup until I glanced at the MLS website. So go us, serious soccer journalists. On this week's show, we do a bit of a catch up on the last 2 weeks, talk about Infantino's ill-advised attempt to sell off bits of FIFA to his rich buddies, talk some national team stuff, look ahead to some local footy, and more. Now this week's panel. Honestly, though, possibly the most excited about all of us, from all of us, about the Leagues Cup. Please say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
Very, very exciting. Yes. Toronto playing in it?
No. Hence your excitement.
Okay. Yes. Anyway, never mind. August the 7th be with you.
Sure. What am I not? I feel really stupid in this moment, so I'm just going to keep going and pretend.
Yeah, it will all make sense later on in the show.
Amazing. I love that. All right. Excited for all the Liga MX kits that will be on display. Welcome to Mark Hinckley.
I mean, if that's the only reason I watch, then they've got me for 2 minutes maximum. Also, I have the internet. I can look.
Underneath all the sponsors, so that's true.
Well, I mean, it depends on the club, but yeah, you're either gonna deal with it or spot it immediately. Yes, I'm looking at you, Jolos. 300 ads on
Seriously?
Your fucking red kits.
Yeah.
Chihuahua. I don't care how many Chihuahuas are on your badge. It's too many ads, fuckers.
Yeah.
As for me, I cannot wait to hear how badly Apple commentators pronounce player names. I mean, I can always wait for that because they do it now, but I'll endure it for about 5 minutes and then I will never watch another second. I am your host, Krista Knowles, and now to the show. Also, I know what Duncan did, so I am sad that that took me as long as it did because I fucking wrote this rundown.
Hey, well done, Kristen.
Yeah, I'm so proud, dear gods. All right, well, let's. What's been happening? Well, lots of things have been happening because we haven't been here for a couple weeks. But we're not going to go through all of that because we're just not going to. But we are going to start with some TFC catch up, who have just completed a 4-game road trip post World Cup. 3 draws and a loss, so you know, setting the league on fire. Oh yeah,
yeah,
amazing, amazing stuff.
Coming back strong after that break,
so strong. Some positives, players, some of the players that were injured previously have returned. George Michael back and seems to be in good shape. Corby Anu also back. That's very nice. No one new seems to have gotten injured. We like that. We like that a lot. And they signed a new midfielder who came to Toronto without a previous injury. Like he played. He has played.
Does he know Unlike, he's not hurt?
No, maybe that is possible because whatever the other new guy is that they signed a few weeks ago, whose name I've already forgotten because he's injured and isn't due to play for like a month. So the guy they signed, they signed him from RSL? Yes, right? We talked about him. Anyway, whatever, he's hurt. So this guy, we like this guy because he's not injured, he's not old. Seems to have a decent amount of ability. So yeah. But now, like, it's MLS, right? So as we have said a million times over the years, you just have to get hot at the right time in MLS to even limp, especially these days, to limp into the playoffs, right? So like Toronto are 3 spots shy of the playoffs right now.
How many points is that?
6 points. I know. So they're probably out because they can't seem to win games. But like anything, again, anything is possible. It honestly, there is still time in the very long MLS season. There is actually time for them to right this ship a bit. But so their last two games, you know, they went down 2-1 to DC United, and that was a disappointing game. Well, there many of them are disappointing, but just in the fact that, you know, again, an unfortunate own goal. Let's be honest here. Like that, it's not like Kobe Franklin was trying to do that. Nice to get some production from a returning player, so that was nice. You know, Corby Anu to get a goal. Was that his first match? His first start, I think, since he came back
from
injury. And then to see, you know, there was the penalty super late, of course. Because Toronto famous for late concessions of goals. Anyway, it wasn't great. There were a few highlight bits. But the annoying thing about that particular game wasn't so much the loss, although yes, terrible and annoying. Was listening to the commentators talk about Sean Johnson. You know, and it was just like, yes, he was our goalkeeper. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we can tell that he can still good at his job. Yep. Thanks. Yep. That's awesome.
No, we know. We knew.
We were aware. We were well aware. Thank you.
He didn't leave because he was bad. He left because, you know, it was mental health.
He was, I mean, yeah, exactly. there's probably an MLS clause, yeah, for how long you can allow a good keeper to stick around and be tortured that way in Toronto.
There,
so
there has to be like a save bonus, like under the table,
like some sort of weird escape clause.
No, like it's one of those. He's just sitting there, like he's just 5 games left in the season. Like I only got to make 28 more saves, and I get that bonus, and I can get the fuck out of here. 28 more saves, I get that bonus. Because honestly, that's what it felt like.
Yeah,
and it wasn't even like the team was letting him, like trying to help him get that bonus. They were just that inept.
Yeah.
So yeah. I hope that myth is real, and he got paid a nice chunk of money, that and his therapy is covered. You know,
yes, goalkeeper union. Definitely that. And then Friday night lights, a little Friday night football to close out the month of July. They traveled to the house the house that Davey House is built. Pizza Rats at historic Yankee Stadium. Although apparently they actually have like an opening date for New York City's new stadium next year.
Next year. Wow. Okay. Year, sure.
Yeah. So I don't remember what it was. It was like in June or something. So I don't remember what that is for their season, because next year is the sprint season before the new fuckery or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. So probably the start of the next, the 27-28 season.
Yeah. Something like that.
Mom, Danny's into football. So I can make this happen.
Fair. You know, that's true.
Socialism can get a stadium built.
I mean, if anyone can do it. You know what? This game actually disappointed me in that they had a chance in this one. Like, they actually could have taken the 3 points in this. And the 1-1 result is probably fair for both teams for missed chances, but Gavron, like, it was one of the commentators just could not settle on
couldn't like It he was, couldn't help but he couldn't help but Latinofy a
oh my god name. It was just, well, because what was Mark, what was I whining about, you guys, the one player that he just kept adding on his third name that he does not use?
Yes, I forget who it was.
Well, it's Nicolas Fernandez, but I don't remember what the third name is.
Is that a Radicora Gayam back?
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah, so it's Nico Fernandez something or other, and he kept using all three, and I'm like, it says Nico on his kit for one thing, everywhere on MLS, on the team sheet, on his team's website. It you have to go digging for his third name. Do you know what? You have to like Wikipedia this shit. And no, this commentator just had it in his, you know, had the bit in his mouth and just couldn't help himself. I was so happy when he got subbed off.
He's just standing up for Nico Fernandez's mother's name. He's
matriarchal, is what you're saying. All right, so yeah. I should.
Yes.
Okay. All right,
That's presumably what it's all about.
Totally, what that was all.
Is that what we're going with?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure, you know, unified front. You know.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Anyway. One of the reasons they did make such a big deal of him is because he's been on a scoring binge, and the goal he scored after Luca saved his penalty, but, you know, spilled the rebound, was that particular goal. I don't know if it's still true. I don't think Messi scored in their match. Drew him level for the league's golden boot. So, you know, it was a big deal. He scored lots of goals, and we love this. George Michael got a goal. Yay. Congratulations. Welcome back. Shalawi could not fucking figure out anything in this match. And that actually was probably my most frustrating thing was like, my dude. Right there. Anyway, there was some good chances for Toronto to get at least one more goal in this, and they did not, and that was frustrating. But at least it was tidier play through a good chunk of the game. Like, this looked more organized. And Nicholas Dortch, is that how we say? Yeah, that's how we say his name, right?
I accept.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Oh my God, man! Well, it was only one syllable, so it's easier for me apparently. Anyway, he looked solid. Like, he didn't look out of place. He didn't look confused by the MLS game, because sometimes in their first matches, players from overseas are just like, "What is this fuckery?" He was active. He seemed to have good placement. Fitness is there. Like I said, he's not injured, and he looked predictably and appreciably annoyed at some of the refereeing, because it is MLS and you should. I also think, did he get a yellow card? I feel like he got a yellow. He might have gotten a yellow in that game, which is fine. Nicholas Dortch made his TFC debut, becoming the 14th player to debut for the Reds this season. Congratulations. Anyway, I...
That sounds like a good thing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
continuity.
Sure.
Anyway,
I do. So yeah, he is the new signing, announced last week. The transfer agreement for German midfielder Nicholas Dortch from FC Heidenheim, 1846. They got relegated last season.
That's.
Does that sound sounds, right?
I think I read that.
Anyway, he's played for some decent teams, and he's played in some big competitions. I think, again, like, just looking at his stats, like, he's not a star, but he's solid. And I think just looking at sort of what his production has been and what he's done with his various teams, to me, it looks like a very solid MLS player, which could be damning with faint praise, but, like, again, the skills don't always translate from players that aren't from North America. So, because North American football can be stupid. No, I don't know. I think he's going to be great. But when he got signed, I was talking to my dad, as I often am, about the TFC. And this is the thing. And we do have, guys, we might need to do a counter for this. Maybe play a drinking game if we ever watch a TFC match together that isn't at BMO, which, again, when are we ever at BMO?
We'll afford it anyway. I mean, the drinks.
Exactly. Anyways, but he began his career. Mm-hmm. The Bayern Munich Academy. Yes, and scored his first professional goal in his lone appearance for Bayern Munich. So
this is
know
Victor Vasquez all over again.
Yes, yeah. Can you not hear Luke Weilmann, the former Bayern man, and just like
falling over himself?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're saying he had a goal a game record for Bayern Munich.
Yes, exactly.
And still wasn't good enough.
And we wow. got him.
As a midfielder, wow!
I know, oof. Like,
what a coup!
Yeah,
but we just scooped him out from underneath everyone else, you know, like we just snuck in and stole him. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he could have went to the Premier League, but no, he chose to play not only in MLS, but a team that just
that's
as weak as fuck. Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, he did. I was watching him pretty closely, and he didn't blow my hair back, but I was like, okay, solid. Like, he wasn't out of place in that I was like, oh my God, what is the new guy doing? I was just like, oh, there is the new guy. You know, there he goes. Cool. So that is a positive. And then the other positive is that with the League's Cup starting, which is the only positive thing about this at all, is that Toronto gets a week off and gets some time to, again, keep, you know, now that Josh Sargent is back from whatever held him out for a game and a half or two games, that was, you know, he wasn't even on the injured list. He was just mysteriously not there.
You mean the World Cup? Wasn't he at the World Cup? I thought the World Cup was when he was not there because of the World
this
Cup.
Was, yeah,
I mean, obviously,
no.
He's at that level. I mean, he's surely got to be there. I mean, since
Duncan,
he came back.
Duncan, did you know he played for Norwich City?
Did he? Really?
Yeah, oh, former Norwich City striker. Can you believe that a Norwich City striker is playing in Toronto? Sorry, I'm
amazing.
Fucking PTSD from
American, this American star.
I know, right?
He's been lighting up the score.
Josh Sargent.
Back though.
The Josh Sargent from Norwich City in the second division of England. My God. How did they get him?
It's Josh. Yeah. Wow.
Anyway.
Incredible. What a coup.
What a coup indeed.
Has he been here the entire time? Anyway,
apparently. Anyway, so he was back. I'm hoping, I'm ever hopeful, even though this team just brings me mostly to despair, which is fine. This week off gives a chance for better integration, you know, with some of the newer players, some of the younger players that they've brought up from the Baby Reds. And I just don't expect any of the injured players back until September, so I'm not worried about that if I ever was, so that's fine. So anyways, we shall see, but we won't see for another just under 2 weeks. So, CanPL time. It's a fucking unbalanced bullshit. Like, there's a three-match difference
tradition.
In some cases. It's so annoying.
So annoying.
I hate it. I hate it.
And there was wildfires. All sorts of things have been going on. I'm sure the schedule was out there. It was going to be all just right there and super, super balanced and everything until things happened. So.
Anyway, it's just, eventually it'll right itself, but it's just frustrating to look at. But this last week, had some interesting matches, shall we say. Two in particular for me that I was like, actually, you know what? All of them were interesting in different ways. So, like, Pacific continues to be awful and played wildly stupidly and lost to Supra in Dunfield's home debut at Starlight. I think they were playing as them as they were playing this. But anyways, it was just terrible. It was just terrible. It was a stupid, stupid game. You know.
3 points though. 3 points they've got the entire season with.
Yep. It's whereas their provincial, you know, compadres, the Seagulls.
No stopping them right now.
Seriously, it's really something, actually. You know what? I watched that game, or most of that game, and I was like, wait, hold on, are they still winning? What's happening here? And they played well. Ottawa looked bad. Like, they looked bad in this game. They didn't look like they had much control of anything for occasional swaths of, oh, we're a good team, or we used to be a good team. But no, for the most part, they looked anemic. And the Seagulls looked organized and decisive. And I was like, what is happening?
Look, I'm convinced after Nash's spell at Inter York Nine City, whatever the fuck they're called this week. I'm convinced that for CanPL standards only, The guy knows how to build an attack. He knows how to get his players to attack. Defending, you know, still questionable. But I feel like he's the kind of guy that he doesn't mind conceding three as long as he scores four. And he would be at peace with that every game. And I keep, like, the score lines just keep giving me those glimmers of, like, oh, he's got them almost figured out, like, to do this full time. Yeah. They will score at least two goals tonight. Will they prevent as many? Who knows? So, yeah, it, like, I'm less surprised.
They have the third best goal differential in the league, and it's a positive one.
Which is crazy.
I know. Also, the fact that they are in third place is bonkers.
Also crazy.
Bonkers. But yeah, I'm here for the Seagulls resurgence, man. Like, fly, you Seagulls, fly. This is great. But speaking of Nash's former team. Oh, dear. Have the wheels fallen off for York Sims? Holy fuck.
Do they get to play Pacific anytime soon?
Yes.
That'll help.
This weekend, actually.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. That'll help.
It's just going to be a slap fest. Come on. you know, like, oh, it's going to be ugly. But speaking of ugly, like, this was five different goal scorers.
Special.
For Calgary. Five.
So good.
And none of them were Warshawski. But he just set everybody up. Like, he was still player of the match because he just orchestrated everything. But he didn't score.
It's nice. You got to give yourself a challenge and play against these men and say, you know what? I'm not going to score. I'm just going to set you guys up.
I'm not even going to score. Yeah.
We'll see how far we get. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my days. It's just, yeah. So how many, like, they haven't won in what, like, eight games or something? York six?
Sounds about right. Let me check. They definitely haven't won the last five fixtures. And they haven't won in the last eight. Two draws, yeah. A bunch of L's.
Yeah. So, like, again, and the attack is gone. And they should have, like, again, this is they are built to score goals, and yet they are lost. They are adrift. Much like their identity season to season. So there's still time, but very little for them to try to rescue what's left of this season for them, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, that was just so they 30 goals is what they've conceded in 13 games.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's so many.
It's so many. It's so, so many. It's so many. And again, they're not in, you know, they have company for shitty defenses. There's only three teams in all of Camp Yale with a positive goal differential. And that's Hamilton, Calgary, and the Seagulls. Everybody else fucking sucks. The porous is all get out, right? But man, and again, obviously they've had some big, you know, 5-0, like, that's gonna, but still, they are in a bad, bad way right now. And as bad as Pacific are, I almost think York Six are worse, because they were initially a better team, and they were coming off of being a better team than Pacific, who are whatever, perpetually in upheaval, even with some player signings. Oh yeah, was it Sean Hundle is now an Aquaman? Somebody else? I can't remember. They signed a couple of new
Yeah, that
players,
sounds right.
But good luck. Good luck, guys. I'm sorry.
Yeah, good luck.
Mark, did you watch the Hamilton Halifax match?
Yeah, I did.
You want
Yeah.
to talk about it? It sounded awful.
Sure. First off, why? Secondly, how? Like, it just, the first half was probably the most unremarkable, ignorable 45 minutes I've watched this year, and I've watched a lot of TFC. Just think about that. Think about that. That's pretty mediocre, like a bar that's even lower than that. And I, like, yeah, I watched the game. It got good at the end, in the sense of it was a bit
there was
back
a
and
chance.
forth, and there were chances, but I'm convinced, like, I don't know if maybe we had this conversation on a previous episode, but I don't understand how Hamilton is the best team in this league. This isn't like me setting up for some like brag or some shit. No,
No, it doesn't make sense.
They are the
average.
perfectly fractionally above average side in this league. They are consistent. They are weird. Like, they can be down 2-0 at halftime, as I nearly heat stroked that one game, and still win the game. But nothing about what I saw in that game when I was there struck a chord with me that, oh, this is that team just got lucky. Vancouver just showed up and got lucky, and it's lucky. It was, no, they deservedly were up 2-0, and then somehow Hamilton won that game. Like, I've not been convinced that this is a team that is great, or it's not deserving of first place. It also takes a league of seven other teams to be as average or mediocre or worse, you know, average, mediocre or worse than what Hamilton's putting out. And it's clear that's kind of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that's the key, really. I think that Hamilton just nearly set a record for most consecutive wins.
What the fuck, right? When they said that, it's not Jenkins' fault. When Adam Jenkins said it, I literally went, huh?
This?
Like, I'm not watching Forge that super close, where I'm like checking the standings, seeing who's hot, seeing who's not good. Like, I'm just, my FOTMOB app tells me that there's a game at 6 o'clock on a Sunday, and at 6:03 I saunter over to the television and I watch it. And that's the extent of my scouting. Oh, kickoff soon. That's it. But when I watch it, I'm not harking back to the game before. I went, man, those guys are so good. 7-game winning streak. And I didn't, there was no indication that was the case. None.
Up against a team on a 7-game losing streak. How's that for balance in the force?
I mean, it's just like, what the hell? So anyway, yeah, I watched it. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. Like, I say uncomfortable because it wasn't fun. It was just like, there are people in the stadium who paid to be there. There's a guy in one of my chats who flew out there to watch this game.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Dude,
that's
a long way to go to see a whole one goal, less than one goal expected from both sides combined. That is horrific.
No.
So anyway, yeah, I don't, if there's a highlight package, don't, just don't. Back to you, Kristen.
Thank you, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan, did you say you watched some of this match as well? Did you have any?
Yeah, kind of half-heartedly. I watched a good chunk of the first half and most of the second, I think. And yeah, it was very mediocre and just nothing happening. And yeah, it's like halftime, you know, zero shots on goal and like a combined expected goals of like less than 0.2. I don't know exactly what it was. And she's like, "Ooh, yeah, this is not great." And at some point, sort of Roz walked in and she was like, to watch for maybe about 30 seconds. She's like, "Yeah, this isn't the World Cup, is it?" And moved on.
Oh yeah,
Did she watch it for 30 seconds? What the hell are you watching?
Like you're watching
a documentary on tree bark. Like, what the fuck are you watching? That also, Tree Bark Doc sounds amazing. Next to that,
that does actually sound fascinating. Sounds I would watch
incredible.
That.
You didn't, right. Nobody knew that Birch could do that, right? Am I right?
No, I anyway. I know, it's because I'm a nerd. After all that fun and frivolity and just weird weekend in the CanPL, and continuing unbalanced schedule, but whatever. Your standings are as thus. Hamilton still in first by 2 points over Calgary. They are the two best teams in the league by a decent margin, followed by your Vancouver Seagulls. The Vancouver Seagulls. Closely followed by the Atleti, and then Supra and Halifax slugging it out in fifth and sixth with York Six. Now York Six currently, again, who are just sucking big time, but they have the most games in hand out of anybody. They've only played 13 matches.
Got everyone right where they want them.
Right where they want them.
Security.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's 9 points right there. And so,
exactly. Yeah, just right so, that just yeah. skyrockets them right up there. Yeah. No problem. Yeah. And then obviously the Aquaman drowning in last place. So and that will probably not change anytime soon. So all right. Fun times. Now to the NSL. Which finally, well, not finally, but no, finally. Schedule is balanced. Yay! It's right. So nice to look at. Everyone right. has played the exact same number of games. I feel like I can look at the table and be like, yes, this is an accurate representation of the season thus far. I feel good about this. Well, I don't feel good about Calgary because, oh, Calgary.
The sarcasm is a bit much, but I see where you're going.
No, I don't like that they are this bad. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. I watched I watched a good chunk of the AFC Toronto Calgary match on Friday. And that was uncomfy. Like 6-0. And they probably could have scored more, but man, Calgary looked so bad. And they are, you know, they were without their coach for that match, who was away on a family emergency. They were missing one of their best players. I don't remember why. There are some things. They are in the midst of a rebuild. They've been signing players. There's no way back for them this season, I don't think, really, other than to try like Halifax did last year, which was claw back some respectability. So that's got to be Calgary's main goal, is to win a fucking game, because they still haven't done that. And to maybe stop leaking all of the goals. It's uncomfortable to watch. But that was, like, that match in particular was quite the story. But then there was the Vancouver Montreal Roses match. 7 goals. It was there's a lot of chaos. But Montreal ultimately triumphant. And looked, you know, again, Vancouver has almost as bad a defense as Calgary does. Like, they are terrible defensively. they've just been relying on their ability to score goals, which honestly, up until this match, and again, only two goals, has kind of defeated them, you know, evaded them of late. So, I guess the match of the weekend, or of the week, because it was yesterday, is the very confusing match between the Rapids and the Tides, which, anyway, next year they won't do this, but served as both a league match and as a match in the Dub V Cup, which is what I'm calling it. That had to go to extra time to decide who won the V Cup match. It was 3-2 ultimately, but that was the V Cup result. But I think, I don't remember what was the official result for like the NSL match. I don't, like, did they have two results, or have they just decided that Ottawa won this one for both?
Yeah, it was a draw for the league.
Thank you.
And a fucking win for Ottawa in the cup.
So confusing. And it took like a day to figure it out. It kept saying 2-1, and I was like, you're lying, because I know that's not what happened in this game. Stop telling me this. And they would still have, but it had all the goal scorers, so I was so confused. FOTMob, I gotta say, as much as I love FOTMob, it has been fucking up some things lately, especially with the Canadian leagues. And it is starting to annoy me, and I'm starting to feel a little bit picked on as a Canadian soccer fan. Just want to mention that to the FOTMob gods. If they could get their shit together. But congratulations, Ottawa, on your historic and triumphant Dub V Cup quarterfinal win. Go you. Still fucking complicated. Didn't need to be this complicated. But what it does mean is that Ottawa remain firmly in first place by themselves. 7 points clear right now of Montreal, with Toronto right on their tail, 24 points. And then Halifax and Vancouver, 17 and 16 points. And then the woeful Calgary with 2 points. So, yeah. But, man, Ottawa are giving their coach, who is leaving at the end of the season, quite the farewell thus far. Well, obviously the season's not over, but, you know, this is starting to feel like one for the Gipper kind of thing. Well, if she has to leave, she's going to go out a champion, god damn it.
Good.
Right?
They deserve it.
Might as well. Anyway, I do enjoy that, that there are lots of exciting and interesting things happening in the NSL. And shout out to, you know what, Toronto, we talked about some of their new signings, who, you know, Sabrina D'Angelo, doing a good job. You can see they're playing Calgary, so not exactly a difficult opponent, but still, it's important to not play down to your opponents, but like to see Shalina Zdorsky really organizing everybody defensively. When I was watching the route, you could hear her at times, like making sure that people were in the right spot and stuff. And that's why, one of the reasons why she's there, right? Is to really take charge of their defense and help keep them towards the top of the standings. So anyway, good to see, or, you know, hopefully see some strong performances this coming weekend, which we will talk about a little bit later. But I'm just so happy to look at their standings and see 14, just see everybody that's played. It's just, you don't have to play this. Oh, well, they have games in hand here, and then maybe this there. And I mean, there's only six teams. Let's just let it be this. And then yes, so that was the first match in the Dub V Cup. This later on this week, right? Is the next matches for that?
I think
it's so weirdly spread out.
Yeah.
Where's the NSL page that I still just like? Yeah, I can't. Who knows? I can't tell which is which. I'll have to look in a different place later. Because it could be anything. It could be a real match. It could be both. It's just, it's very confusing. It
could be fake.
The fake matches. Honestly, I've had enough of this.
Yeah,
match fakery.
Can we make it more convoluted? Because it's already pretty convoluted. So anyway,
can we just put like a little star or something that says doubles as this and will be this? I don't know. Please, that'd be so nice.
We'll let them tell us on the telecast. I think that's where I'm at.
Like, tomorrow. All right, here we go. So tomorrow night, Calgary. Okay, congratulations, CS Montreal Ultramont. You can get your first win in the inaugural Dub V Cup. Because Calgary sucked. So go on, provincial champions, get it. So yeah, so Calgary versus Ultramont tomorrow night, day after recording, and then next week. The Roses take on Simcoe County Rovers. And then in October, in a game that will double as a league game and a Dub V Cup match, Toronto and Vancouver, because that's how this fuckery is happening. And then we'll play more games later to decide. Oh, so painful. All right, let's move on to what we're talking about, because we have to. Oh my god. Well, for those of you that listen to our show and love the World Cup and hate football corruption, man, we got to wade through a fuck ton of it this last week.
Man,
didn't we?
What a roller coaster.
That was just holy shit. Like, we know how messed up this is. We know how they live in a different world and they exist on a different plane, because the very rich just do, right? And those with obscene amounts of power just, they do not experience the world in the same way in which we do. And so they often don't think about consequences, hardly ever think about consequences, because generally they're thinking about more money and more power. And Infantino and FIFA, but Infantino, with his whatever FIFA backers, someone said, sure, go for it, dude. Thought, man, that World Cup was so successful. Oh god. And also, and if you haven't read his little petty whining post about the haters, dear gods. Oh my days. The sniveling, the self-serving, the self-aggrandizing, the attempt at, the thought that he thinks he's being smug, thinks he's right in that post, right? Like, anyways, it's something.
He's like cartoon Cobra Commander.
Oh yeah, it's such an exercise in self-delusion.
I'm so great. And then all of a sudden, thank you. I didn't even know I could do that. I just like,
that was amazing.
Thank you. And it's like the mask fell off with no effort. Like, it didn't even take all the G.I. Joes. It took like the one with the shipwreck with the parrot. the parrot came over and squawked at him, like, ah, run, you know, like, betrayed. So it's just, it's like he collapsed under so little scrutiny that it just, honestly, like, to me, it was like the biggest tell, you know. Never mind the fact that it was quite clear that he was trying to profit off of something that didn't belong to him, which is hilarious. But anyway, I would say score one for the good guys, but it's like score one for the lesser bad guys. That's really what it's really what it is. It's like I'm sure, like, it's amazing how great UEFA is looking.
Yeah. UEFA has just been like throwing down for the last month, right? They're just like, boom, boom, dunk on you here, dunk on you there. Yeah, fuck you. You know, like, you're making us look so good, so good. Like, I can only imagine the celebratory dinners that they are having every time he does something, because they're just, it's I've never seen such a like every open net possible to UEFA right now, right?
Pretty much. And yeah, I mean, on a similar vein, you know, sort of Sepp Blatter comes out and says, oh, he's looking like a principled man who really cares about the football these days. And I mean, sort of UEFA, I mean, to say this is not, oh, they're the good guys, they really care. It's much as well, okay. I think, you know, Infantino, since he came along, all right, well, the Club World Cup has happened. And, you know, that's a bit of a challenge to the Champions League, isn't it? And, you know, it's maybe just a little too much power moving away from UEFA. So this is a nice way to slap that down. You know, I think that's their main consideration rather than, oh, we really care about football. Do you? Not really. You just need to protect your things. And, you know, a World Cup every 2 years, then what's going to happen to the Euro? So, you know, UEFA doesn't want that either. It's just something that was banded about within all of this sort of thing. Basically, you know, we've said it before. You know, the corruption and the sleaze and all that sort of thing has always been there amidst FIFA, the same as it has amidst, say, politics in general. But then, Infantino is basically like Trump, or just he wants to be like Trump. He's obviously hanging around with him a lot. And it's just like, yeah, you know, let's just be brazen and shameless about it. And just, you know what, fuck it, yeah. Do we have? We're going to do this to make money. We're going to do this to make money. We're going to do this. And and it seemed like, well, you know, okay, fine, I guess, but at least the games were fun. So the World Cup was okay, because we can't complain. And then, you know, eventually, just sort of push it too far. And now here we are. It's delightful, really, that, you know, it's he's had his... it's all gone horribly wrong so quickly, and he's presumably not going to get elected next time round now. And yeah, indeed. But yeah, just another example of the whole everything Trump touches turned to shit thing. It's just like, well, this didn't work out at all, did it? Just delightful.
And again, we know that they exist differently, and they just go about things differently. But I still can't quite wrap my head around why he thought that this would happen, like that people would just be like, "Oh yeah, this is a great idea. We love this."
Well, I think it was supposed to be sort of rolled out a lot more smoothly, and basically, I think the plan involved, obviously, you know, the Kushner and who's it take a good chunk of money, but hey, everyone gets money now. You know, Infantino gets a huge, massive salary. in perpetuity, essentially, as a commissioner. But at the same time, ooh, all right, well, we can spread this out to like $40 million or whatever it is to each particular country. And, you know, he presumed that Saito's bribes would work to get enough people to vote to go along with it. Because, you know, I mean, that would be, you know, for some countries, that's probably a drop in the bucket.
Massive.
For some for some countries, it would be really helpful. For a lot of, you know, the heads of various countries' football associations, this would probably have been a very, very tempting thing for themselves, because you know, it's just, ooh, 40 million for every country. You know, Vanuatu. What's Vanuatu going to do with $40 million? Other than just, well, I guess we
make
just
a Vanuatu 2.
Yeah, yes. Vanuatu 2.
Vanuatu 2.
Yes,
oh, God.
Yes. But yeah, I think there would be, it's like serious personal enrichment going on from a lot of these places. And so, yeah, I think if this hadn't like come out in the media and what have you and caught him by surprise, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people would have voted for it, because it's like, yeah, all right, well, sure, I'll take a bribe now as well. And all right, this is eventually going to like hurt and lose money overall, given that we're going to be giving away like 20% of our revenue in the future is going to be going off to these private interest assholes. Eh, doesn't matter. I'm all right right now. This one is coming to me. I'll vote for this. So just shameless sort of grift and bribery was going to see the plan pushed through and fuck the people, I think is what Infantino's plan was.
And so, and what is interesting, sort of interesting in all of this, but like we're talking about UEFA, like UEFA smelling blood in the water, right? Like, because he's just, they just keep slam dunking on him, and they came back pretty strongly, fairly quickly as well, to be like, absolutely not. And that, I fully believe that UEFA's stance, because again, UEFA's no, you know, no small fish in this pond, right? They are the next biggest predator in this pond.
Yes.
You know,
they're the I next. I think they want to fully protect their share of things.
Absolutely, 100%. But what was interesting was seeing the anemic initial response from CONCACAF, which saw them firmly perched on top of the fence, waiting to see which way the wind was about to blow before they, you know, were like, yes, we've all voted, and no, we don't want to do this either. No, what they said, them guys there, yeah, no. Meanwhile, you know that they were hoping against hope that this was not the way it was going to go. And I am not surprised, but I find it disappointing that CONCACAF and Monvic and company were so willing to be like,
I mean, it's perhaps disappointing. It's not surprising. I mean,
no.
What are they supposed to do? Come and say, you know, this is bullshit, and everyone else votes for it, and
then they look stupid. Yeah,
Infantino is king of the world for the next 50 years or what have you. And, and oh yeah, we hate CONCACAF now. Fuck you guys. You know, there's only so much. You know, I think it needed UEFA to be the first one to come out there and say,
yeah,
this, and then, you know, maybe smaller people, confederations can come along behind them. But yeah, have many of the others like chimed in, like Asia or
I was gonna say, is that like AFCON
Africa,
said
Asia, yeah, you
know,
Oceania?
I don't know, Oceania, yeah, has Oceania said anything? But yeah, actually, well, I was sort of wondering, was it FIFA? What was it? What were they calling it? FIFA Financial, what was it called?
Something
financial
FIFA forward something
for FIFA forward okay let me just
see the FIFA like, forward system FFS for fuck's sake, it's not that at all, but it should be something FFS. It was definitely FIFA forward enterprise,
maybe? CAF initially endorsed it
because it said fee even though the acronym was FFE.
Yeah.
I noticed that because that's what I do for some of my job.
Yeah.
Good catch, Tom. Thanks.
Yeah. So Kef was ready to go.
Initially. Yeah. Yeah. Until, I think they were a little more open and honest about it than CONCACAF was, until UEFA was like, absolutely not. And then everyone just fell in behind UEFA.
Yeah, everyone was thinking that, well, I guess we just have to fall in behind FIFA.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, well, if we've got an option now, and you know, at least CONCACAF has taken the more principled option.
But also, yeah, it looks like the AFC, the Asian Football Confederation, also did a formal rejection of it. Well, I don't know what their initial statement was, but CAF was probably the biggest league that initially were like, all right, like they had, you know, they had, anyway, I think, and again, I get it. You know, like we were talking about, like for some countries and for some federations, that is situation changing money, right? Like, but I do think the outcry, not just from federations, but from I think fans and stuff around the world, was very loud. But yeah, obviously UEFA, again, not to give them too much to build their egos up with, but they, again, not the heroes of this piece, but the ones that at least forestalled this for now.
Yes.
But I want to, with the, on because day after reporting, and this is, sorry, I have to do a little cultural, we haven't done much pop culture reference dropping lately. New season of Ted Lasso starts tomorrow, day after reporting, which I'm very excited about. It does. I'm very excited about it. And from what I saw, it looks like they're actually going to do an episode a week. You can't binge the whole season, which I'm also delighted about. I think that's great. But I have been, in preparation for this, rewatching Ted Lasso, because even though I've seen it more than once before. One, comfort viewing for the most part, but also just, you know, there's some interesting storylines. But when all of this was happening, what I kept thinking was, especially because I did recently see this episode again, was when Edwin Akufu, who is the Ghanaian character, billionaire, asshole, right? Like he's just awful.
I love that actor.
Oh, absolutely. The actor's brilliant. He's so good and he's perfect. Like he does such a good job in the role. But when he wants to do a super league, right? You know, and like bring all the top teams and all the money and everything, right? And then when they turn him down and he throws like the tantrum, and throws food at all of them and everything. Like, but it just, it made me think of this because up until the, like, Hannah Whittingham's character, Rebecca, whatever Rebecca's last name is, I can never remember. Who cares? Look at her. She's incredible. Until she sort of speaks up and says, are you all fucking mental, basically? They're all on board with it, right? They're like, oh, I like money. I'm a rich old white man who owns a football club, you know, after, but the best part of that scene, honestly, though, is before the formal meeting when they ask the Russian guy to leave. And it's just, oh my God. Anyway, that show is so good in so many ways. But anyway, this kept making me think of that. I kept picturing Infantino as like, maybe a less childlike, you know, Edwin Akufu in all of this, being like, who's gonna say no to all this money? Who would possibly say no to all this money? And now having to concede defeat. Anyway, just it struck me, the parallels, though not exact, did strike my brain quite hard.
What it kind of reminded me of is just the, you know, this had the potential to be a CSA and the CSB deal, and just like, oh, well, we will get a bit of money here. And, oh, this is really going to fuck us over long term, isn't it? Oh, well. And yes, the world of football has managed to avoid signing its CSB deal with Morgan Chase and what's his name, Kushner.
Yep.
So that's for the best.
Yeah. That's, yeah, no kidding. That's a good point. Anyway, so it's over now, or at least for now. But there's an emergency meeting in Morocco tomorrow, apparently, to discuss the fallout or whatever. So yes, he's called an emergency meeting of the FIFA senior leadership, following backlash.
I imagine it's called the FIFA family, isn't it?
Anyway, so he was forced to rescind the proposal after almost unanimously rejected. Obviously, UEFA I love that, you know, because UEFA really did go hard with this, right? Like, to boycott everything. And then after, yeah, North American equivalent CONCACAF, ooh, among the other organizations to reject the proposal. Anyway, so it sounds like he is unlikely to continue on as king of FIFA. And I believe that's probably part of what is going to be at this meeting. It sounds like, you know, major countries and footballing powers, as they say, will withdraw their support for his re-election campaign next year. And what is even more interesting in all of this, other than, again, as Duncan mentioned earlier, is sort of the wise elder statesmanship application of Sepp Blatter. Just hilarious. Every time he tweeted, I sent it to my parents because I was just doubled over in laughter, right? But what's,
I
mean,
I feel like I want to hear what Jack Warner and Chuck Blazer have to say.
Oh my god. We need like match of the day or Men in Blazers or somebody to convene a round table with them. Oh my god, please someone do this. Please, mm-hmm. For us, for the fans, for the long suffering fans, especially those of us in CONCACAF, please make this happen for us. So speaking of CONCACAF, currently being tipped as one of the potential candidates to run against Infantino is Vancouver native and current CONCACAF president Victor Montigliani. Woo!
This is the exact definition of a power vacuum, isn't it?
I've
heard of these things in textbooks, but I don't know if I've had a front row seat to one in my life that I was aware of. I'm sure it's happened, but that I've actually like kind of followed to closely. And now all of a sudden, you know, Montagliani, who's been in the game for, you know, probably is 20 years anyway, and kind of sort of quietly came out of nowhere as far as like who would be likely to be in charge of CONCACAF. He would not have been like on my radar, but all of a sudden, boom, there he is. Like, hey, oh wow, a guy I've heard of. Okay,
he's
fantastic.
He's no, there's no scandal. Yeah, he's not yet. From the US or Mexico, so
yeah,
sure, yeah. That'll work.
Canadian, yeah. What could possibly go wrong? So nice. Yeah.
Plus one to credibility.
And yeah, now it's all,
yeah, exactly. Well. If you want to reburnish, if you want to like start to rebuild the FIFA reputation, we put a Canadian in charge, everyone.
Yeah.
Oh, one of the good guys. Everything will be fine.
Yeah. So it's not like UEFA's coming in and throwing their weight around, putting their own guy in there. You know, I think we'll probably get the backup for a lot of the smaller confederations in countries out there.
Oh yeah.
So it's just, we need someone who doesn't seem to be all that corrupt, who's just kind of quiet and boring.
Exactly. Threatening.
He's not from UEFA. Sure, this guy? Sure. Yeah. Go on then.
Yeah, like I see it.
Yeah.
It's honestly so easy to see. It will not surprise me if it happens. Because like just as we're talking it out, yeah, like having someone sort of inoffensive, yeah, from a smaller confederation, but still, one that's been doing some things that just hosted the World Cup, right? Like,
Yeah.
so they.
And I think ideally, probably 2031 would have been his time when Infantino couldn't run again. Oh, he's got another 5 years of experience there, and that would have been ideal timing. This is maybe a bit soon, but yeah, who knows? It's a definite possibility.
Wild, wild stuff.
Crazy.
Anyway, it's like honestly, we could not have written this. Like I thought after the post that Infantino made that there was nothing, like there was anyway, just all of these things. I just the Peace Prize and the just the gremlin grinning at matches and the groveling at Trump and everything. Again, I just marvel at the level of self-delusion and the lengths to which they just keep going. Anyway, let's move on because we could do a week's worth of shows on this if we wanted to. Oh, actually, speaking of new people in charge, I had no idea this was a thing. Not even a clue. I didn't know, or I'd forgotten that Darren Garber wasn't going to be the commissioner anymore of MLS. I had no idea. So some dude named Larry Berg, who served as the co-managing owner of Zombie Chivas. So that's not weird at all.
Wait, the guy, the Boston Celtics legend owns part of the Zombie Jeebus, really?
and co-chair of MLS's sporting and competition.
I
That's
see what you've
incredible. I know what you did too. Stop it. I'm trying to move
I see
past
where you've
it.
gone there, Mark.
Thank you.
I was thinking of Aki Berg, who used to play for the Leafs.
Oh, God. That's worse.
Aki's first name's Larry?
I know. Who'd have thunk it? Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, like, if it's Larry in charge, then like the trash talking at MLS headquarters is gonna be legendary because, man, no one could beat Larry Bird at trash talk. It's unreal.
No.
The man was vicious. It's hilarious. Anyway, yeah, he's was selected. I love this. I love the language they use around these things. Berg, who has served as co-managing owner of LAFC and co-chair of Major League Soccer's Sporting and Competition Committee, was, hold on to your seats, was selected
Go
via a comprehensive succession planning process led by the MLS Board of Governors, with Commissioner Don Garber supporting the transition process, and Corn Ferry, Corn with a K, Corn with a K, CAA and the
Wow.
Miles Group. Yes, thank you. Serving as advisors throughout the search. I was like, that whole paragraph is just the stupidest thing I've read in a really long time.
I mean,
Oh,
I'd rather Limp Bizkit Tugboat personally than Corn Ferry. That's just me.
God. Yeah. Agreed.
Oh, God. Anyway, it's
Yeah.
so yeah,
And
congratulations.
is there not some sort of kind of like meek, quiet Canadian who can be getting this job instead? Like,
Yeah.
is Larry Tannenbaum busy?
So yeah, so he's gonna take
Bob
over,
Leonard doozy.
but
I mean,
then, oh, there
ooh.
we go. But
Yes, he would be perfect.
somehow Garber is still gonna be
Yes.
involved. But yes, Leonard Deucey would be perfect, actually.
No.
Oh my God. Anyway, so there you go. Yeah. I was like, I had no idea at all until I saw a post on the MLS site. I was like, wait, what? Seriously? All right. I didn't think, again, I never thought that Don Garber would give up power. So who knew? National teams. Everybody gets friendlies. Everyone's playing lots of games come this fall. In fact, The men's national team is playing three when I initially thought they were only playing two because one got announced today. So previous right. announcements were for a match on September 26th here in Toronto against Chile. If you are a Voyageurs member, those seats are already sold out. So you will have to go elsewhere. You right. waited. Oh, yeah. They went fast.
Good. That's sure. Good. That's bad news, yeah. though, because I feel like I was looking at the at some like clicking on a random link for just regular tickets, whatever, and like $100 and something is the cheapest.
$132, I think. Yeah.
All right. Well, never mind then. I'll watch on TV.
And then Canada versus Peru on October 3rd at Stade Saputo. I don't know if that's sold out yet, but it was. Those were also going quickly. And then announced today is that the men will be playing the U.S. In Minnesota on October 6th.
11 was an inside job. I can't do it, Jesse, anymore. I spent all that on the Cobra Commander thing, so I can't do it.
Anyway, so like, and again, that I don't know anything about ticket allocation for that one yet. That was literally just announced. I'm assuming they'll allocate some to the Voyageurs, and that there will be anyway. That'll be a big one. Obviously, I'm sure people will travel for it. So yeah, lots of three matches for the men, and then the WNTXNT also have two matches. Bookending Thanksgiving weekend. So on October 9th, they will be taking on, okay, Canada, terrible website. Why did you just do that to me? Jesus Christ, it just swiped on me. Hold on. Because who are they playing first? Denmark in Montreal. There we go. Sorry about that. So playing Denmark on the 9th in Montreal. Oh, they're playing Denmark for both. Yes, sorry, just Denmark. I mean, not just Denmark, but you know what I mean. So yeah, Friday, October 9th, Stade Saputo. And then on Monday, Thanksgiving Day, Monday, here at BMO Fields, at the very civilized and reasonable time for an outdoor stadium of 3:30 p.m. Which, and I'm not being sarcastic, that is good. That should ensure attendance. Ticket registration links for tickets if you're a Voyageurs member went out in an email. Tickets are on sale soon. So that's great. So lots of Canadian national team footy to enjoy during the international break this fall, which is great. We love that. We love, love, love it. All right. And then the MV Cup, because that's what I'm calling it now, remaining schedule has been announced, finally. So the semifinals, the Whitecaps versus Montreal will take place on September 2nd. Is the leg in Vancouver, and then the leg two will be September 16th in Montreal, and then Hamilton versus Otleti or Supra, because you know they haven't played their deciding match yet. yeah, because that's not till later on this month. Tuesday, September 1st, either at TD Place or Stade Boreal. And then the return leg at Hamilton Stadium, which makes me laugh every single time, on Tuesday, September 15th at 7 p.m. And then the final will be on Wednesday, October 21st, hosted by either the Whitecaps or CF Montreal. I don't know why. Because it depends on who wins their match. Never mind. Pathway responsible for hosting the final was determined during the official competition draw. Sure it was. There we go. So much Canadian stuff going. It's nice. I like it. So what's coming up? So Leagues Cup, which we don't care about. But if you do, it does start tonight, day of recording. In fact, let's see. Columbus beat Atlas and Cincinnati beat Pachuca in their opening match. But please keep in mind that during the first round, everyone plays each other three times. It's very fun. Yay. Juarez is currently beating the Loons. Charlotte beating up on Pumas. And Tigres and Salt Lake are tied. There we go. And this is a bunch of matches. A lot of fucking matches. So many matches. And then the rest of it is all very nebulous because, heaven forfend, they actually have a goddamn clue as to when things happen. So they know the final is on September 6th. That they know. As is apparently the third place match, which I guess will take place earlier on in the day. The quarterfinal matches, I'll just say TBD. We will have them between August 13th and September 6th. That's all you people need to know. That's it. That's all. They're all going to be on Apple TV and some will be on TSN. And you will enjoy it. And that's the Leagues Cup, people.
It actually sounds like you're threatening me with a good time rather than oh, you're going to fucking watch it. And then you're going to tell me how much you love that shit. Don't be an asshole. Just watch.
Sorry,
Kristen. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Like, if it wasn't such an obvious money grab, I would enjoy this competition more. Do you know what I mean? If they didn't shut down their league for it, or at least for the initial run of matches, whatever, you know, it's so farcical. I wish I could enjoy it more because I like Liga MX. It's chaos.
Kind of is.
You know? So I like when MLS has to go up against chaos. It's fun. But this competition annoys me, so I hardly ever watch it. Toronto's not in it, so what maybe little real interest I might have had is, you know, not there. I don't care enough about the Whitecaps. They're in it, right? I'm assuming. Or maybe not.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, they're there. Oh, they played tonight. That's right. They play Adelante. So sure, like save the Whitecaps. Oh yeah, everyone hates the new turf at BC Place, so that'll be great. Tonight's match will be a glorious representation of the terrible turf at BC Place, apparently. That'll be fun. I want to like this competition more. I just, yeah, that's my commentary.
That's a fair reaction, I feel. Yeah. It's like, I think what it's nothing we haven't already said. It's,
I know,
you know, between the unnecessariness and the cash grab and all this, and you know, I wish I could get excited about it, but there's no stakes in it. And there never was stakes in it. It's just money and a fake trophy, which, I mean, it's a real trophy. I believe it's a real trophy. I've seen people holding it. AI is not that good. But I know that they've added the winner gets a slot in the Champions League. Well, Champions League's just a knockout tournament. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? Like, there's, if the thing that you could qualify for with this thing was exciting too, I would probably be a lot more interested in this. I'd be like, why didn't Toronto qualify for this? Instead, I'm like, this is a long way to go just to add one more team to a Champions League that's just already diluted. So
I just need to interject for a moment that unfortunately, due to watching a clip of the Graham Norton show with, oh my God, she played Donna Noble on Doctor Who. God, talking about singing is a long way to Tipperary, that is what my brain did after you said there's a long way to go. So now I have that fucking song in my head.
Well, I didn't mean to, and you're welcome.
Yeah, well done, Mac. Well done.
In your face, Kristen. That I think. Yeah, like
Catherine Tate.
I wish I could care even the slightest whiff. Instead, I'm just rooting for chaos. So,
yeah, fair. Let there be chaos. Let there be chaos. Like, if I'm home and it's a match that's on TSN, I might put it on. But otherwise, I'm not bothered. You know what I mean? Because I cannot listen to the Apple commentators anymore than I absolutely have to. Although I do keep forgetting that I could listen to it in Spanish, and this actually might be the tournament to do that. So no, I'm not talking myself into this. No, Kristen, stop it. Stop it.
I think you're into this, aren't you?
Apparently. I don't like this at all. Quick, we have to change topics.
It's emotionally confusing for all of us.
But seriously, I'm very confused. I need an adult. Wait, I'm allegedly.
I don't want to watch this, but it's in Spanish.
I need an adult here, adult.
You already threatened all of us to watch it anyway, so.
I know, but I wanted the rest of you to watch it and tell me how right I was for not watching it.
No, it's not.
No, damn it.
It's not.
Was worth a shot.
Not for me. No.
All right. Okay. Hey, moving on. CanPL and NSL continue to play this week. So for the CanPL, to me, there's like two matches that are the ones to pay attention to. Hamilton versus the Seagull on Friday night, Star Wars night. So May August 7th be with you, Duncan. Mark, are you going?
Wait. Did you just say it? May August the 7th be with you?
Yes, I caught
Duncan,
that.
Duncan, I said, yeah. Thank you.
Because it's not May the 4th.
Yeah, I know.
It's not May August the 7th. It's just August the 7th. There's no May.
It's got nothing to do with the month. It's just a statement.
Oh, no, but the statement is May the 4th.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
I know that. I wasn't trying to be that clever. I was.
Yeah. May August the 4th be with you. 4th. 7th.
Yeah. And that's why I said May August the 7th be with you. Like, anyway.
Just saying August the 7th be with you would be weird.
Exactly. I needed
needs
to put
set
the
up.
Other
it does need to set up, or else
it
it's just like.
It needs to set up.
Look,
this is pointing out how ridiculous the entire fucking promotion
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Why
Star
is
Wars
it happening?
Are supposed to be on May the 4th.
Yes.
And it doesn't make sense on any other day.
No.
August the 7th be with us all.
Guys.
Oh, when I was home.
I'm just triggering things.
My brain is just latching onto anything right now. It's fascinating. When I was home visiting my family, seeing my brother and meeting my nephew and stuff, I, for some reason, Scratch Bastards, DJ Championship, winning set came to mind from ages ago when he is just a baby DJ. And Mark, you're going to have to link that in the comments
God
or the show
it,
notes,
of course
I
do.
Think. So I found it on YouTube so that everyone could watch. And I said, so you have to wait and see when he throws the Emperor. Like, I was explaining to them because nobody there is remotely into DJs other than me, right? My brother, like a tiny little bit, my mom could not care less, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand the genius and how he did it. They just thought he put on a record. I was like, no, he made it happen. Like, you had, this is genius. And my brother at least appreciated the genius. So anyway, Hamilton versus the Seagulls on Friday night at Hamilton Stadium. Marcus, are you attending?
Yes, I am. And most importantly,
in costume?
I'm going as a Forge supporter. mostly,
are you going to get there early enough to get a lightsaber?
I'm going to get there early enough to do sticker trades, I hope.
Oh,
excellent. Yeah, ulterior motive, you know. Oh yeah, there's football, whoopty shit, somebody's 25 stickers away from cleaning this motherfucker. I will be going, and once I do my trades, I'm definitely retreating to the shady side. So But yeah, so I will be there.
Nice. But just from a other than a spectacle standpoint, from a football standpoint, given the Seagulls' form and Hamilton's recent anemic performance, shall we say? Again, it was one hiccup, but also against a terrible team. Or did Ham was Hamilton suffering from TFC syndrome of playing down to a lesser opponent? Like normally we would just say automatically that Hamilton would win this match because it's Hamilton. They're playing at home, you know, Seagull's historically bad team, except for not right now. Seagull's good team right now.
Yeah, Seagull's a very good team. Seagull's a very
Like
fun team. I think
very fun team.
that's like
Hamilton, not fun.
when for the last couple of seasons where I've been kind of pro York Nine because they were just a fun, exciting, borderline chaotic team to watch. Borderline chaotic because you never knew if you're gonna get the team that looks like they could take on the world or if they look like they're gonna struggle against a traffic stop. So that mixed bag was always a bit, it became a bit must see. Like I was watching, if I couldn't catch the match, I would watch the highlight packs. Vancouver is almost there. They're almost there because all of their games have been just a touch of chaos. And this has got to be Martin Nash. So yeah, this is a kind of a tasty little match that could happen. So.
Like I anyway, I'm off on Friday, so I intend to watch this. I'm looking forward to this match, quite frankly, because I'm so curious to see. Well, I'm curious to see which Vancouver shows up. I want to like they've been pretty consistent lately. So, I honestly, in words I could never truly say unless it was, you know, the V Cup from previous season or whatever. But I actually think Vancouver could win on Friday. I really do. And that's not meant as shade against Hamilton. It's just recognition of what the Seagulls have been doing of late. So again, it could go either way. It's probably going to be a draw. But like they're two of the best teams in the like again, the top three teams are the top three teams. Like they've all been playing pretty well. Hamilton's hiccup against Halifax notwithstanding. But I don't know what I here. I'll even throw out a score prediction. 2-1 Vancouver. That's my prediction for Friday.
Wow. I mean, it's
I know.
totally plausible.
I know.
I'm gonna go for like, I'm gonna say 4-2, and I'm gonna go Hamilton. Just because
Because they
I am,
haven't scored enough goals recently, and you think they're
yeah.
due? All right.
Well, after last game, I think, if the hairdryer treatment is real in this league, it's Bobby
Fair.
Smoutiotis 1,000
Yeah,
times.
fair, fair.
And I have no doubt in my mind, if they weren't yelled at in that converted storage container in Halifax, they were definitely yelled at when they got off the plane. Or at least given like a really icy stare, because that guy looks like he can just drill a hole right through you with his eyes. Yeah, I think I basically I'm calling Goalfest. That's actually the prediction. And if it gets over 4 goals scored, I will actually kind of be happy regardless of who wins.
All right.
I will go with it will be either 2-2 or 3-0, because Star Wars night.
I see what you're doing.
Robots, bloop 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 bloop. Yeah.
All right, and then on the other end of the spectrum, we have the Aquaman hosting York Six. I know.
Oh, God.
So,
It's at
like,
it is where are they which
No, it's in, it's in, it's no, 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 it's.
I wanted to check if they were playing in Starlight or if they were playing at Royal Athletic Park in Victoria.
Oh, that's a good call.
They're at Starlight. So
they are at Starlight. Okay.
1-0 own goal, Inter Toronto.
It's the resistible force meets the movable object. I don't know if it's going to be 0-0. I don't know if it's going to be 0-0 or 5-5.
I was just going to say, yeah, like they.
Please be 5-5.
I would, because they both bleed goals, right? Like, so they're both so porous. If either team, and both, again, both teams are built to score goals. I know.
What happened to Batty Bonga? What happened to Ollie Bassett?
Like, what happened to Julian Alcibiali? Like,
their signing scared the shit out of me.
Yes.
And they have been absent as fuck.
I know. Ollie Bassett, who? Like, seriously, how do you miss the guy? But does anyone remember seeing him play this season? Like, it's wild. I honestly, as bad as the Aquaman are, like, I don't actually think they're going to win, but this could be their only chance to win a game right now. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll be without Josh Hurd. He's one of the red card receivers, if I remember correctly. Who else got the red cards? So many red cards. Well, there was two. Yeah, Josh Hurd, and Marco Bustos. Yes, so they'll be without two of their allegedly best players, but they have new. Anyway, I still think I like Duncan's idea of a gazillion goals. I'm going 5-4 Aquaman just because. Why not?
I'm going to update mine. 1-0 own goal, Inter, 5 minutes into the game. That means there's 85 minutes of just discomfort.
Just awfulness. Oh my God. And it's Inter's so going plausible.
Like, how come we couldn't score that? And Pacific are going like, how the fuck did we get out of this one?
So plausible. Oh, it's so scarily plausible. Oh, dear gods. And then for NSL, I chose like Rapids versus Toronto as sort of like the game to watch in terms of like two really good teams. If Toronto can keep their form, because they are still a little bit mercurial, although they've been more solid lately. They've won several in a row now, looking like they remember what they're doing, but Ottawa just, you know, keeps on rolling. So that could be fascinating. But then again, on the flip side, the Rise versus the Wilds. So we've got like a Western clash, Vancouver versus Calgary, but also the second slapfest of two woefully inadequate defenses. Again, could this be Calgary's chance? Probably not, but they've got to be so hurting after getting just destroyed by Toronto the second time. Because the first match, because Toronto and Calgary played twice last week, because this was to balance out the schedule, right? First match, yes, they lost, but it was only 1-0. It was respectable almost. You know what I mean? Like for Calgary, that's moral victory right there. And then they got destroyed. Again, is this Calgary's chance? Because Vancouver has been looking like shit. They've lost like three in a row now. So there's a chance. Where are they playing? Is that one? Where is that one? So Ottawa and Toronto is in Ottawa. And then let's see, Vancouver. It's a Swan Guard. It's probably not looking good for Calgary, but
come on, Kristen, you can do it.
I don't know. Okay. I'd love for them to have it in them, but let's see. So Vancouver's lost. Come on, FOTMOB, work faster. Or don't. Anyway, Calgary's lost pretty much everything. But yeah, I think Vancouver's lost like three in a row. They both leaked in very similar number of goals. So they actually do score sometimes, and Calgary apparently does not. Nah, Calgary still probably loses. 3-0 Vancouver.
Man, yeah, that's plausible. I mean, it's gonna be it's at least two against Calgary, so
Oh, I think so.
I'll go four. But 4-1, moral victory. They score a goal.
Ooh, there we go. Get them into double digits, because they're still only at 9 goals scored on the season. 9 goals after 14 games. Oh, Calgary. You hurt my heart. Again, not that I'm a Calgary supporter. I just hate this imbalance. I hate it. I hate it. I don't want to go through NSL seasons where every season there's one team that is so shit that you just pity them the whole time. Like, we pity Halifax through much for most of the first season.
Yeah.
And
And look where that got us.
Oh, anyway, lots of good Canadian soccer to watch this weekend. There is again the Dub V Cup match. What is it? Calgary and Outremont. It's tomorrow night, day after recording. Oh yeah. Oh, Calgary. Calgary's got two matches in the same week. Oh no. That'll be interesting. I wonder. Anyway. So yeah, there's lots of good soccer to watch coming up. So say ignore everything I said about the Leagues Cup except for the part I said about don't bother watching it. Just watch Canadian soccer. You can do it. I believe in you.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Well, that's our show. That's it. I
That's
know.
it. That's
Yeah, I
it. The whole
promise.
thing.
I know. All right. So
All right.
please join us next week when we well, let's see if any of our wild predictions for both the CanPL and the NSL come true. See whether or not Calgary, maybe the Dub V Cup is Calgary's seagull moment. It's they just have to beat a provincial champion. It's probably better than they are right now. But if anything can happen, anything can happen. Magic of the Cup, all that stuff. We'll find out if anything exciting happened at Infantino and FIFA's emergency meeting tomorrow, day after recording. And yeah, whatever else exciting and interesting is happening in the world of soccer as we see fit. I have been joined by these two fabulous gentlemen to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher and Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Goodbye. A sort of late happy, what's his name? Peter Robinson day to you, Kristen? Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Is that the guy Peter Burrow is named after? Or is it
No.
completely different Peter?
It's, like all good towns in Ontario, Duncan is taken from a town in England. You know this. But no, thank you very much. I Peter Robinson, good writer. All right, out on the tweet machine to be found on the Twitters, Kidner Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to listen to our podcast. We absolutely appreciate you being here. If you'd like to leave a tip, you can find the tip jar on our Patreon page, which you can find on vocalminority.ca. And if anybody else has got stickers they want to trade, just inquire within. I can't wait to be fucking done this thing. Cannot fucking wait.
I'm excited for you to be done. I
Oh my
really
God.
am. Is
I just want another hobby, for fuck's sakes.
there not a place where you can go and just like specifically buy, okay, yeah, I need these 17
No.
random stickers. I'll
No,
pay a
nope.
dollar each and just send them to me.
So
That doesn't exist.
no store is going to keep stock of 980 different stickers because the keeping track of it would be a nightmare. There are some industrious people on Facebook who are trying to sell stickers at, in some cases, ridiculous prices. But I'm now at a stage where, unless it's glaringly a ripoff, I've got no choice. Also, fun fact, there seems to be about two stickers that fucking everybody needs. Everybody needs the same ones, and it's driving me fucking bananas.
That's always the case.
Yeah, if anybody's just sitting on a stack of Sweden 4s or Czech 18s, hook a brother up. I need two, actually. We're helping each other, and I'm hell bent on getting us both those missing ones. For some reason, my missing list, like at this stage right now, it's like one Bosnian, one Colombian, one England, one Turkish, one Swedish, and seven Czechs. Why in the fuck am I missing so many Czech players? I do understand why. I actually do. But I don't understand how it's seven. I'm at one and one and one and one and one and fucking seven.
Oh, no.
That's 35% of the entire fucking Czech collection I'm missing.
Damn. That's brutal. Yeah.
I went back in like 1985, 6, 7, somewhere in that range. I don't remember exactly, but John Walk for Liverpool was just impossible to get. You could buy all the packs you want. You're never going to get a John Walk. You can trade with God knows how many people. Nobody had John Walk.
That's insane. Also, if I wanted to send it.
It's stuck in my head.
If I wanted to get the missing sticker from Panini, they'll sell it to you for 70 cents US per sticker. That's not the worst part. It's the $40 fucking dollars they want to ship.
I was just about to say, how much do they want to ship? Yeah.
$40 to ship it to Canada.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at. There's no way you can just cheat and just buy the individual ones, but it's going to be 70 cents each plus $40.
I think I'm going to have to spread the wings a bit and might see who in the States is got random ones that they're looking to sell. I'm sure if I go and, scroll through either Facebook, Reddit, or eBay enough, I'm sure I can get what I'm looking for, but my God, this is stupid.
Aren't you looking forward to when it's a 64-team World Cup, Mark? The sticker book can be 33% bigger than it currently is.
It's going to be so big.
It'd be a fucking textbook.
And I was just going to say, it's like a home, the part of a home defense system, you know? You just have your sticker book next to your bed and you just whack any robbers with it.
I said this to Mary. If I somehow am stupid enough to get involved in the 64 team sticker book for the World Cup, I am going to buy a case and split it with three other people. And we are going to pick a day and open all of those motherfuckers up and see if we can get it done in the first go. I do not want to be doing this for a month and a half. Just gonna lock ourselves in a fucking room, tear the shit out of all these boxes, create an incredible amount of waste, and find out we're still missing Sweden 4 and Czech 18 in 2030. Fuck. Back to you, Kristen.
Thank you, Marcus. As for me, you can find me on the internet, yes, the entire internet, at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. Until next week, Canada, get used to it.